Tuesday night, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're learning Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, which is Hilchos Chanukah. Kuf Lamed Tes. Anybody, where's the pile of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? There's always a big pile of them. Well, maybe someone put it back where it belongs. There's one, I don't know. You give it out. Okay. Not down there. Okay. Let's go. Jonathan, don't give up. The tape's running. We're still going to give Shia tonight. Don't unplug the tape. I predict it's in the Ezra Snosha. It's just a prediction, I don't know. Don't go there to look. My prediction is that it's in the Ezra Snosha. Someone decided to learn there with a group of kids, and like, why should they bring back the Svar? That's my prediction. Okay, Kuf Lamed Tes. So the first sif everybody knows by heart. Maybe we should start with the second sif. First sif is like the Rambam gives a historical background to Hanukkah. Babaya Shani, Kuf Lamed Tes. Babaya Shani in the second base of Mikdash. We'll call it halfway through. It's not an exact figure, but we'll call it around halfway through. Shemolcha Machas Yovan, that's one of the Arba Malchis that Daniel saw in the dream, that they would be sholed over the Jews. And this is the height of the Greek, it's called the Greek Syrian Empire, the height. Whether it's Aristotle or Plato, no, Aristotle was much earlier, I'm sorry, Plato was earlier. But the Greek philosophy was very powerful. And a lot had to do with, it was like a stira almost, like a lot of philosophy, but very big on Hanos Olam Hazeh. So Gozru Gzeres Al Yisrael, they ruled, there was no autonomy, the Yidden were not autonomous, they were captured by the Yevonim, Ubitlu Dosam. I don't know if you remember in Russia it was the Xeris that you weren't allowed to be religious. So it was like, it was such a matzav that upon pain of death you weren't allowed to keep mitzvahs. Lo inichos umasik b'torah v'mitzvahs uposhtu yedeyim b'mamonim u'b'noseihem. Not only didn't they let them keep mitzvahs and learn Torah, but they treated them like in Germany. It was like a combination of Russia and Germany. You can imagine how bad it was. Think of Russia with a Assad, where they forbade keeping any part of Yiddishkeit. If they would catch you, think of Spain, the Inquisition, if they would catch you keeping a say there, or eating matzah, putting on tefillin, or shechting, or bris milah, right? They would be sent to Siberia, finished, right? And they treated them as hefker. So that's the thing of Germany, before they sent them off to the camps. But they just treated them as total hefker, whether it's mamonim or b'noseihem. There was no protection of law. B'nichrasu l'heichal. And to make matters even worse, if that's possible, they broke into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was standing there. Uportsu Boprotsos, they broke things, they made a, you know, like here. It looked like the basement. They made holes in the wall. They broke down. The Gemara says they made 13 protsos. You could see them. Afterwards, people were mishtacha there when they would pass by one of the fixed up protsos. Probably more involved than just the physical breaking. 13 is Kenegan Echad. Okay. The Timuas of Taharos, they knew that they were Tomei in the eyes of the Jews. So there was everything there is kadosh. They were mishakeh. They had to build a new mizbeach. They made the mizbeach. They defiled the mizbeach. It wasn't just the oil. It was everything. They defiled. They put chazar on it. Avodah Zarah. The Sar Lahem Yisrael Ma'od Mitnayim. They were persecuted. Luchotzum Machatz Gadol. If you know history, you could imagine maybe. It wasn't so long ago. In the last century, we suffered from all of this.
What does Lachatz have to do more than Tsar?
You could be, I don't know, let's say Tsar means Tsar, and Lachatz means pressure, unrelenting pressure. So you could be Tsar, but maybe you could breathe between Tsaris and with this pressure. How? Because some people stood up. It's hard to imagine. If you imagine, I remember it clearly because I'm an old man. When Russia was really heavy-handed, very, very heavy-handed, and people... So imagine there would be like a group of guerrilla, 100 people, 1,000 people, it doesn't matter, that would try to make a rebellion. It would be a joke. You'd wait for them to come with their armies and squash it down like you squash a cockroach that you find in your kitchen in the morning. Go like that. And that's what happened here. Imagine in Russia, maybe like the Warsaw Ghetto or Shtickle. Like in Russia, like it would be unthinkable for a band of people. It would be like a joke for a band of people to stand up, and they didn't. What they did was that they kept Torah and mitzvahs in secret, but the overwhelming majority of people lost any connection to Yiddishkeit. That's what happened in Russia. It was kept alive a little by a few people who were mostly nefesh, both to teach, primarily the Lubavitchers, and the people that did it, that were most in Nefesh to keep Torah mitzvahs. But no one even thought of going to war against the Russian, against the communist empire. So I don't know. What was the mentality? It's hard to know. You can't say that they expected an ace. So I think, okay... No, I think there's a reason. Because then they were in Eretz Yisrael. So if they're victorious, and I hold, there's a famous question, why didn't the Yidden by Purim, why didn't they go to war? So I hold the simple teretz, not the teretz that's always said. I hold there's a much simpler teretz. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you go to war because there's a point. If you win, so you're in your country. You take over. That's not what happened. They won. So good. They didn't expect an ace. But like it made sense. They're going to go to war. So they don't know what will happen. Maybe Hashem will help them. They didn't know. There's no guarantee. Right? If you do it al das nace, the nace doesn't happen. That's what Chazal tells us by Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria, and Avram Avinu. If you say, oh, I'm going to jump in because Hashem's going to save me, then forget it. So they went to war, they're in their own country. So if they win, well, they go, like in Russia, well, this thing is winning. That's what I think. I think there's no point. What do you mean you're going to win? So and then you're going to take over Russia? It's not your country. The populace is against you. There's no, right? You're a small minority in a foreign country. It's not your country, not your language, not your culture. There's no point to fight. Hashem could do anything. You could talk and take over the whole country. But I think like the mindset is not the Mesirus Nefesh, I think would manifest itself by keeping Torah in secret. You don't want to take over this country. You don't want to be here. This is not your country. What are you going to, you're not fighting a war. So you do it in secret. That's your Mesirus Nefesh. If you're caught, you're going to get killed. There's plenty of Mesirus Nefesh just to do it in secret. But like it has no pshat. That's why I think by Purim also, it had no pshat to go to war. They're not in their country. They don't want to go to war. They don't want to win anything. So Elamai, they'll defend themselves. And Hanani, they would have defended themselves. They wouldn't have done such a good job. Probably Achashverosh collected all the weapons, like the Germans collected all the weapons. Like the Israeli army takes away all the weapons from the people that live in the West Bank. They take away their weapons. So that's what I think. But you're in Eretz Yisrael, then it has a shot. You go to war, and the Mitzvah Hashem will win. No, you don't hope for an ace, but you're Moser Nefesh. If you win, since you're in your country, so you take over, you kick them out. They're by you, so you throw them out. Anyway, they went to war.
You can't hope for an ace, you just can't be so much more.
You can't anticipate an ace. You can't go with, you can hope, but you can't go anticipating Aldas came that really I'm a dead duck. I'm relying on an ace. You can't rely that Hashem's going to do an ace. You have to be ready to be most.
Unless you have a sign. What? I mean, we have Yehonas on that.
Well, he had a level of bitachon where it wouldn't have been an ace. Like that's what he said. Like Hashem, you know, like a 6-day war type of thing. You know, Hashem could be Moshiach b'ma'at. And that's what happened. You know, they panicked, and they ran away. It wasn't an ace goalie. I'm sure in West Point they could talk about what happened by Yonason and explain it. I don't know if it was an ace goalie. Doesn't say it was an ace goalie. It says he climbed, he broke into the thing, and they panicked. So maybe you can say that's an ace. So you can say that's an ace, that they panicked. But why should they panic? The mindset isn't, definitely the mindset is we're going because Hashem will help us and we'll win. That you know, they didn't look at, they were ready to be killed. They didn't go because, like, they didn't know the end of the story like we do. We don't think they were that brave because we know the end of the story. They didn't know the end of the story.
Were they committing suicide, really?
I hold it's not clear. It's not clear. That's a shiloh with Shabbos. They didn't want, at first they didn't want to be mechallel Shabbos. So I and then Matisyahu told them to be mechallel Shabbos. So I hold that's the machlokas. They held it was really suicide. You know, they were suicide. So you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to commit suicide. So they went to war because there was no other Eitzah. So they went to war and they weren't Simechan and Eis. They were certainly hoping Hashem would save them. They saw no Eitzah. They didn't want to live like this. They're not ready to give in to the enemy. So they're going to go to war and whatever happens, happens. Whatever happens can't be worse than the matzahs now. Now they can't keep Torah mitzvahs. Their children, who knows what's going to be with. So you can't just sit there. You have to do something. But they wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. And Matisyahu, I hold, when he said be Mechal Shabbos, he was telling them that it's not suicide. Like, maybe you can win. Your mindset should be you're fighting a war and you win, so you can go fight Shabbos too. Other rabbi, you have to fight Shabbos. I hold that was that machlokas that's brought down in Sefer Chashmonaim, wherever it's brought down. I know that was the machlokes. They held it with suicide. They were just, you know, what are you going to do? We can't sit back and do nothing. It was like the Warsaw Ghetto. Like, was it suicide? Did they think they're going to beat the German army? I imagine not. I just imagine, they said, listen, we might as well take down some Germans with us. We might as well. We're not going to sit back and do nothing. So there was not a religious thing. It was, I'll stay alive. So. But here it was to keep Torah mitzvahs. Okay, I have to go. So, very interesting.
What?
Very interesting.